Good to see you in our second week here in our White Christmas series, and so excited that Pastor Rob is going to help us out with that message here this morning, and I'm just so honored, so glad that they are back with us. They're no strangers to Elevate City, that's for sure. Pastor Rob serves as one of our overseers and for our church government. You've heard us talk about that in Growth Track, and he serves as one of our pastors, one of my pastors, so it's good to have one of my pastors with me today, and him and Trisha have just been amazing and just so much through the years, and especially with Bethany and I in this journey, and that's why you don't want to do life alone, everybody. And I tell you what, man, Pastor Rob and Trisha have been there for us and have loved us and have helped us along the way, and if you don't know who they are, though, they pastor an incredible church, Gracetown Church in Columbus, Ohio, doing great things for it's God incredible. There. And, of course, in the heart of Buckeye Country. Yeah, I know.
Somebody shout.
Yes, you notice he turned his mic on, you know, when he knows what I'm getting ready to say. There's a big game looming on New Year's Day, Notre Dame and Ohio State. And I've been just trying to prepare his heart for a Buckeye defeat, you know what I mean? Just let him know the Irish got a plan. Hallelujah. That is God's team, by the way. You didn't know that?
And so, Jesus help me.
But we like to have fun, if you can't tell, in every relationship. You need that. But Beth and I love them so very much, and we're just so appreciative of just who they are. If this is your first time hearing them, I'm telling you, man, you're going to be encouraged and challenged. He'll have you laughing and crying. He's one of my favorite preachers. He really is, and in the country, and you're going to hear from a great voice this morning. So I want us, if you guys would just stand to your feet, and let's give Pastor Rob a great Elevate City welcome. Come on, everybody.
Love you.
Come on. Just remain standing. Remain standing for just a moment. This doesn't happen too often. Yes, I admit I am a full-blown Ohio State Buckeye. Yes, I am. I'm actually privileged. I belong to the chaplain for the Ohio State Quarterbacks Club, and I have lunch with Coach Meyer and some of the coaches every Tuesday during season, and so we get the ins and the outs. But we already know God's got a plan that victory shall be mine, right? But the truth of it is my gorgeous wife is with me, and they don't get to travel a lot with me. And Trisha, wave your hand to everybody. Yeah. I know we're in church, but I turned to her and I said, gosh, I love your lips. I know, this is how I feel. After 26 years of marriage, 28 knowing each other, 5 kids later, I love her more than anything in this world. So not going to give up yet, or not going to give up. No yet in that one, babe. Remain standing. Let me pray. Father, we thank you for Elevate City Church. I thank you for Kyle and Bethany and their family and the amazing leadership here. Thank you for what you're doing in this church. You are seriously just bouncing your favor and blessing all over this place. Thank you for that. God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. And Lord, may this message today go into somebody's heart and change their life for the best. In Jesus' name. And everyone say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Look at your neighbor before you're seated, okay? And say, don't judge my breakthrough until you know what my been through is. And then look at him and say, go Bucks. You may be seated. Man, we're carnal in the house this morning for second service, aren't we? I am always honored to be here, and I don't come as a guest speaker anymore, just so you know. I'm one of the staff members here. I'm one of the Elevate City Church pastors, and that's why I'm here, and I love coming to Fort Wayne. I love coming to this church, and even that, I love spending time with Kyle and Bethany, and Kyle and I talk about once a week, sometimes more, depending on what each of us are going through that week. And usually it's a lot, trust me. It's a lot. But he's in a series right now called White Christmas, and if you're a guest with us today, you will get to hear him speak next Sunday, so give this church a chance. Hang on, all right? I know some of you who are members here, you've invited a guest for the first time. You're like, oh, God, we got a guest? Really? Guest speaker. So listen, so we're going to talk about White Christmas, and I want to talk to you about how to have a White Christmas and what that means in your life. Our text is found in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18 in the New Living Translation. It says, come now, let's settle this, says the Lord. Though your skins are like, or your sins. I did that in the first service, didn't I? God, Kyle's got me all flustered about this football game right now. And my wife's lips. I can't even talk right. Let's try this again. Will you give me another chance? Okay. Come now, let's settle this, says the Lord. Though your sins be like scarlet and gray. Scarlet. I will make them as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, I will make them as white as wool. Pretty fascinating verse of scripture. And you know what I love about this scripture? That tells me this. In sin, we've messed up. The Bible says the soul that sinneth shall die. We were doomed. You know, and the Bible says that the wages or the price of sin, the paycheck of sin is death. But then it puts a comma and says the word but. But the gift of God is eternal life. I'm so glad that we're standing here today white. Listen, I'm not talking about skin color. I'm talking about the inside. I'm talking about your heart. I'm talking about your mind. We are free from the laws of sin and death. We are free. We are forgiven. Did you know that? I've come to tell you the gospel is the good news, and the gospel is this. Jesus Christ died so that any sin that you did commit, will commit, or are committing is done. It's taken care of. You are forgiven, even the premeditated one, because I think they're all premeditated. Well, no, I just was walking one day and tripped and fell into sin. Nope. You was thinking about it. You was planning it. And you was moving in that dominant direction, okay? So you just don't trip up and you don't fall. We don't think right sometimes. We don't pray like we should. We're not disciplined in following Scripture like we should and being led by the Holy Spirit. And so we get carnal. Anybody want to admit that with me besides me in the house? We get carnal. We don't think right. And we're moving, constantly moving in one of two directions. We're either moving Godward, or we're moving towards the world. That's only the two directions that a person can walk in. And so the challenge for us, and the reason why we're doing this series, is to challenge us to walk Godward. I'm not talking about perfection. I'm not talking about being perfect. I'm talking about moving in the dominant direction that leads you down a path of righteousness, joy, and peace in the Holy Spirit. All right, so the song is White Christmas. This is one of my favorite songs, Christmas songs that there is. And I start listening to Christmas songs, my wife will tell you, after Halloween. End of October, they come out, the albums. I got a Crosley record player. I've got old records. And one of my favorite, of course, is Bing Crosby's White Christmas. Bing Crosby recorded the song in 1942. It was a turbulent time. A lot of upheaval in the world, not just the nation of America, but we were experiencing, we've been bombed by Pearl Harbor. We entered into the World War II. And Bing Crosby comes on the scene in 1942 with this amazing song by Irving Berlin called I'm Dreaming of a White Christmas, just like the ones I used to know. You ever hear it before? Did it make it to Fort Wayne? Oh, yeah. All right. So Bing Crosby, amazing singer, probably sings the song the best way, although Michael Bublé and him did a duet a couple years ago on Michael Bublé's Christmas special. They holographed. You know, some people thought they raised Bing from the dead. They didn't. He's not Jesus. And they sang as a duet. I'm going to encourage you. It's a great Christmas song. And the reason why it was so powerful is because we were sending our boys to war. Families didn't know. if they were coming back, and they would hear that song, and it would remind them of home and the comfort and the peaceful things of home, and people would dream for that thing again, that white Christmas. And then it got played so much that Bing had to go back into the studio because the master was worn so much they had to re-record it. Amazing. Think about that. White Christmas had to be re-recorded. Well, it's been re-recorded 1,000 times over by 1,000 different singers and done well. But it talks about the white Christmas, the snow. But I can tell you, man, I wish it would snow. I hope we get a white Christmas. I'm saying bring on the chill and bring on the white stuff. Okay? Pastor Kyle, I don't want it to be 70 degrees in December. I don't. I put my summer stuff away 2 months ago or a month ago. I don't want to get it back out. Okay? Let my shorts and t-shirts stay in the basement. I want my sweaters on. Come on. I want my sweatshirts on. I want to talk about two individuals that weave throughout in and out of this message today. Classic individuals written by Charles Dickens. Charles Dickens is a great theologian, not just a classic author. If you ever seen the movies based on his classic books, Tale of Two Cities, The Christmas Carol, A Christmas Carol, Great Expectations, Oliver Twist, you can find out that the gospel is weaved in and out of his stories. Amazingly how he does it. Theology just jumps at you when you least expect it. But there are two individuals I want to talk about. One is Ebenezer Scrooge from A Christmas Carol and Miss Havisham from Great Expectations. Dickens characters, if you read Dickens, or you may not even read Dickens. I love the classics. But Dickens usually represents some kind of pain or some kind of hurt happening in somebody's life. You know, when he writes about Ebenezer Scrooge, you see greed, you see stinginess, but you see the result because of he made a decision to go with the lust of money rather than love of a woman. Come on. And he gets hurt and he gets rejected, which it turns into greed and stinginess. And then you see one of his characters like a little Oliver Twist, right? Neglect. And it's extreme. The neglect that this little child experiences is pretty amazing. And man, Dickens writes it with such description and such hurt. And then you see his Miss Havisham and Great Expectations, where she is hurt, she is rejected, she has unforgiveness, and she is so narcissistic. And then even in Christmas Carol, Tiny Tim, whom we love, who in the midst of handicap, he's positive. He shows how you don't have to be handicapped in your spirit and in your heart just because it's physically. And he's the one that's with excitement and joy of Christmas, and God bless us, everyone. Right? I love how Dickens brings these characters to us, but I want to tell you, we may not be as extreme as his characters, but we tend to carry out in a small way what these characters did in a big way. When we talk about Ebenezer Scrooge, we love the classic A Christmas Carol. Whatever version you like, I have all three or four of them. And we watch them all, and we love to watch it, and we talk about it because he is this mean old geezer, man. He's full of hate and greed and stinginess, and we love to hate Ebenezer Scrooge because of how he is. And we try to wrap it in our minds, saying, how in the world can somebody actually be like that? But he harbored these feelings of resentment and bitterness and unforgiveness, and he became bitter, and he chose money, and he just decided this was what he wouldn't even forgive Mr. Trotfield for £6. He wouldn't even forgive that the little of that. He was so full of himself. What I want to talk to you about today is many of us don't realize that when we don't forgive those who hurt us, we place ourselves in the prison of torment. We place ourselves in our torment of our own soul. When we hold that grudge against someone, we hurt ourselves more than we ever hurt anybody else. Well, I'm going to treat them bad because what they did to me. And I'm not downgrading anybody's rejection or hurt or pain today. And I'm going to talk about that. But I want to tell you that when we don't forgive, like Christ has forgiven us, we damage our ability to have healthy relationships in the present and also in the future. That offense that we're holding so dear now becomes the glasses, the lens that we view our entire life through. We view future people, we view future situations, because that's all we can see. Some of us here today, we chose not to move on, and we chose not to open up ourselves. Some of us won't be in a life group because I've had them tell me at Gracetown, I just can't. Well, why? Because I got hurt. I got hurt when I was at a life group one time, and I've never recovered. Do you realize that the walls you build up to keep the sadness and the hurt out are the same walls that you can keep joy and love and peace out? You and I have got to tear down these walls in our life. I know, you listen, we're going to get hurt. You know what, you've been hurt before? If I asked anybody in here ever been hurt before, every hand's going to be raised. Anybody ever been rejected, hands are going to be raised. You know what? We live on this earth. I've come to tell you that life is meant to be lived. Life is meant to be experienced. With all the junk, all the stuff that happens, life is still good. I still believe the old song. I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them bloom for me and you. Come on, right? And I think to myself. No, some of us go, man, life sucks. I'm just mad. No, it still is a wonderful world. Everybody with me right now, 1, 2, 3, take a deep breath. 1, 2, 3. That breath you just took is a gift from God. That one breath. 18 times a minute you breathe. 25,139 times in the day. Free of charge. It's a gift from God. I'm here to tell you that you've got to, if you want to have a white Christmas, we've got to make the decision to learn to forgive people. Forgive the people that are trying to ruin your life. Forgive the ones that are just foolish, okay? Forgive the ones who are bound up in hate and forgiveness, unforgiveness and bitterness, and they're just living what they feel and live on the inside, and they don't know how to express any other way. Unforgiveness can be so negative, it could actually ruin every aspect of your life. When we refuse to forgive, it creates a stress, and stress in the body creates sickness. Usually when somebody's of ill health, we say, what have you been eating? That shouldn't be the question. It should be, what's eating you? The root cause of a lot of the things that we have in our life could always stem to a place of hurt and pain. And I'm saying today that if we're going to have a white Christmas, for it to be truly pure, we need to learn to forgive. When it comes to that, the reasons why Jesus emphasized this so much, because he wanted it to be an ongoing thing. It needs to be re-recorded in your life. Forgiveness needs to be re-recorded. You know, we've all, if I've asked you, we've all have sources of unforgiveness that has taken place in our life. How about betrayal? You've been betrayed by a family member, you've been betrayed by a neighbor, by maybe a church member, you've been betrayed by a coworker. We've all experienced betrayal. False accusation, right? Rejection. Abuse. Been abused mentally, physically, sexually. Humiliation. Lied on. We've all had these things happen in our life. But here's what Hebrews chapter 2, verse 17 and 18 says. That's why he had entered into every detail of human life. Then when he came before God as a high priest to get rid of all the people's sins, aren't you glad that he got rid of your sins? You know, he got rid of all sin. I know we pick our favorites, And we love to judge people of their sin. You know, God never called us to be the judge, the jury. He never called us to be the prosecuting attorney. It's not our place to judge somebody's sin, lifestyle, decisions. You know what he called us to be? The witness. We're a witness. Can you be a witness? I think we can be witnesses without being critical, without being hateful. Come on. That one was free. It wasn't even in my notes. It says he would have already experienced it all himself, all the pain, all the testing, and would be able to help where help was needed. Jesus stepped in to humanity. I love this time of year. Not that we're just focused on the incarnation, but we're reminded that we should be focused on the incarnation every day, not just December 25th. But the reason why Christ came was to redeem us and to save us and to enter into humanity. He knows what it's like to feel the rejection, the hurt, the pain, the accusations. And you don't have to have the ability and the power to forgive on your own. I'm telling you, you don't have to, because in our own ability and own power, we're powerless. Sometimes we don't have it in us to say, I forgive. Sometimes we just want to, you know, punch him in the throat, right? Sometimes that's what we want to do. We want to retaliate. We want to get physical. We want to hurl some words back. And we do. We do. We respond that way. But the truth of it is, we have to ask the Holy Spirit. We got to say, God, I need your help. Because I'm having trouble letting go of this. I'm having trouble forgiving this situation. And I need your help. You know, we can't have peace and bitterness. You got to choose one or the other. You know, your pain and your hurt doesn't just whisper to you. It is loud. It sometimes screams in your ears and screams in your heart. It says, treat them with contempt. It'll tell you to distance yourself from them. It will tell you to give them the cold shoulder. It'll tell you, you know what you need to do? You need to teach them a lesson. You know what you need to do? Punish them. They need punished. That's what those voices of despair and hurt and will tell us to do. And we can give in to them. And, ready for this? And feel justified. And feel justified. Nelson Mandela, leader of the South African nation, incarcerated unjustly for 27 years. When it was time for him to get out of prison, he could have been vindictive. Man, he had the nation on his side. He could have wiped out those accusers and those leaders that tried to utterly ruin and destroy his life. But he chose not to. He came and emerged unscathed and told the people, here's what he told his nation, let's forgive our oppressors. Let's forgive them, and let's focus on our future, and let's build a great, brand new nation. Instead of the trauma of devastation and apartheid, he chose the path and said, we're going to do forgiveness. 27 years incarcerated, and he walks out, not just free physically, but he was free spiritually. He was free emotionally. He said, we're going to forgive all those. And not only are we going to forgive, but we're going to be reconciled together. Instead of, I'm not going to enforce the policy of revenge and vindictiveness. No, 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 no. We're going to forgive. Folks, when everything within us wants to hold a grudge, wants to point a finger, wants to remember the pain, God wants us to lay it aside and give it to him. And just give it to him. I know we love to think about what happened to us and it stirs us, but until we get the total spirit of forgiveness in our heart and reign in our lives, we will not have peace. You won't sleep good. Continue to toss and turn. Continue to struggle on the inside, but quit letting that pain eat you up from the inside. Lay it aside. It's peace or it's bitterness. You can't have it both ways. And I understand I'm not lightening or making light of pain. I'm not making light of hurt. Because there's some of us here today that have been through some tragic devastations. And I don't want you to think, oh, it's easy for you to, Rod Bibburn, just tell me to forgive. I could share things that would just your mind of things that I've had to forgive people for. Can I tell you, I'm not making light of that. And I know this because we have a wrong understanding sometimes of forgiveness. Usually it's minimizing the seriousness of the offense. Or we think there's an instant restoration of trust, and that doesn't always happen. Come on. We think the relationship's going to go back and be the same. Not happening. Not all the time. And doesn't have to be. Okay? Or forgetting what happens. Oh, you know what they say. If you're truly forgiven, you'll forget. Baloney. Baloney, because you have been given a gift from God called your memory. Right? There's some things you can't forget. But I do know too often we should remember. Listen, we often forget what we should remember and remember what we should forget. The truth of it is, God says, bottom line, you have to be forgiving. You can get out your list to God and say, I mean, Miss Havisham, she had her list. Wealthy, beautiful young woman, happily engaged to be married. Dickens writes it so specifically in Great Expectations. And she's about to get married, and at 20 minutes till 9, she receives the devastating news that he is called off the wedding. She is overwhelmed, and there's some people here today that you're like, you know what? We called off the wedding, and we're glad. I'm glad I called off that one, right? I mean, I understand that, you know, but she wasn't expecting this. This was the love of her life. She is so devastated, so jilted, that she stops all the clocks in the house. She takes the drapes and she closes all of them, never to allow daylight to shine in her house again. She never removed her wedding dress. She had one shoe on and one shoe off. And she left the cake on the table, never to remove it. I mean, she withdrew. She became mean. She became hateful. She became ate up with bitterness and unforgiveness and hatred, all because of being rejected by her fiancé. Her behavior is not normal. I understand that. Unrealistic, to be honest with you. But it is realistic, and it happens to every person sitting here today, emotionally, mentally, spiritually, and physically. We get devastated in some way. We've been wounded. We've been hurt. We've been rejected. And the first thing we do is we withdraw. We go hide. We're not going to open up. God forbid, because if I open up, that means I may get hurt again. And by God, I'm not going to let anybody ever do that to me again. And then we just keep it all to ourselves. She can't move on because of the pain. She becomes depressed. You know what? I found out, because this is what she wants to do. She wants to hurt the person that hurt her. And Dickens teaches us in this story that we can never avenge ourselves, ever. We can't avenge ourselves on someone who doesn't even care anymore. Think about that for a second, my friend. How do we do this? Augustine said it like this. He said, if you are suffering from a bad person's injustice, forgive that person lest there be two bad people. So how do we do it? I'm glad you asked. I'm going to answer that question right now. Because there's some of us sitting here today, we have it in our heart. We've got things that we can't let go of, and I'm going to show you how to do it. 1 Peter 2:23 says, when Jesus suffered, he did not threaten to get even. He left his case in the hands of God. remember this, the person who gains the most from forgiveness is the person who actually does the forgiving, not the person who does the hurting. Watch this. Number one, forgive them because I need forgiveness. You have to forgive because you need forgiveness too, because guess what? You've hurt somebody before. You've said something stupid. You've done something stupid. You've done something malicious. You did it on purpose. You said it on purpose. You were angry. You were hurt. You were mad. You're guilty. There's not an innocent person sitting in this building this day. We are all guilty. Matthew 6, 14 and 15. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. What? That's why Jesus said in the Gospels, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And notice he didn't say, comma, and do good, and be holy, and he says this, and love your neighbor as yourself. Because he's basically saying, you say you love God, well, that depends on how you treat people. If you're kind, if you're tender-hearted, if you're merciful, if you're quick to forgive, that's how you are towards God, and that's how God is towards you. But if you're not, and I can tell you this, religion has painted a false view of God. If you want to know what God is like, look at Christ. God's not the Godfather waiting to whack us because we've done something wrong. He's the one that's forgiven us and freed us and loves us. Look what Jesus did. That's what God is like. I was talking to somebody the other day. They're from another state, and their father said that, here's what God's about to do in the church today. People who are not going to get lined up, God's killing them. What? That's dumb. No, seriously. And there's people that believe that garbage. That ain't God. That's not God. He's like Christ because he is Christ. Now watch. Colossians 3:13. Bear with each other and forgive one another. We can just stop right there. If any of you have grievance against someone. Somebody have grievance against somebody? Tell me what it is. No, don't do that. I'm just teasing. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. Yeah, Rob, but you don't understand. This is what they did. This is what they said. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. Do you know what you did? Should we talk about what you did? Should we talk about what I did? Should we talk about what we did against the world? Come on, and he forgave you? And yet you and I want to hold on because they were up, they said, what? Really? I'm moving. Number two, forgive without condition. Well, I'll apologize, Rob. I'll forgive if they apologize. I want to hear them say, I'm sorry. Really? So you're going to base your forgiveness off what the dumb person did anyway? Really? No. Forgiveness has to be made before you even, whether they ever say anything. Listen, the forgiven forgive. Ephesians, get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, slander, along with every form of malice, and be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as Christ and God forgave you. Jesus said in Luke, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I mean, they are beating him. They are swearing at him. They're spitting on him. They're putting a crown of thorns on his head. They're piercing his side. They're cursing him. And he says, Father, forgive them. Stephen, one of the first evangelists of the early church, while Saul, who turned out to be the Apostle Paul, is holding the coats of the men that are stoning Stephen for evangelizing and preaching the gospel. And here's what Stephen says. God, you see, we think he would say, God, you see this? Kill him for it. And he said, God, don't hold this to them. They don't know what they're doing. Forgive them, God. And he takes his last breath while he's being hurled at with rocks and stones and beaten. And he says, forgive them. Three, make up your mind you're going to forgive in advance. You know what? Tomorrow Monday morning, somebody going to tick you off. Yeah, on the way while you're driving to work, somebody... It's going to happen, isn't it? Won't it? It always happens. I'm telling you, my wife will be getting up, going to work, and then about 20 minutes in, I'll get a call. You would not believe I almost got hit by this person, wasn't paying attention. Blah, blah. I mean, it can really affect your Christianity. I don't think trials are the big test of our faith. I think driving in traffic is a test of everybody's faith. Yeah, and Trisha said, and you're the one that ticks everybody off on how you drive. And she's right. Jesus said, forgive us our sins as we forgive those, everyone who sins against us. You listen, when you get hurt, three things can happen. You can turn inward, which many do. Miss Havisham turned inward. Or you can turn outward, up. Ebenezer Scrooge turned outward, bah, humbug. Keep Christmas to yourself, you know? Or you can turn upward. And it changes everything. Peter comes to Jesus and says, how often should I forgive? Seven times? Great question, right, Pete? Good question. Seven times, that's a lot in one day. And Jesus said, no, 70 times seven. You're going to have to re-record it over and over and over again. You're going to have to forgive today and forgive this afternoon and forgive tonight and forgive tomorrow, maybe 100 times in one day, but you're going to have to do it. Remember Buddy Hackett? You know, that's old school Hollywood. Buddy Hackett said it like this. I had a few arguments with people, but I never carry a grudge. You know why? While you're out carrying a grudge, they're out dancing. And then some people don't even know and realize what they have done. Then my last point today is simply this. You and I have to relinquish the right to get even. We have to. Here's what the Bible says in Romans 12, 17, 19. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, it is mine to avenge, I will repay, says the Lord. And I can tell you this, those of us who've been hurt, we love that scripture. And we'll put it on Facebook. And you just know, when somebody puts that scripture, vengeance is mine, says the Lord, you're like, everybody's comments, oh, what happened? Oh, I'm praying for you. And you have now jumped into that trap that they want to get you. Well, I was hurt, and yeah, let me tell you about it. I'll private message you. Read them. When somebody puts that scripture, take 5 minutes, scroll down, and then you'll see, hey, private message me, and I'll tell you. Because people want to suck other people into their mess. Listen, we don't need to jump on social media with all of your mess and all of your hurt and all of your bitterness. I have the perfect place to take it to. And you don't have to regret when you say it. Yeah, that's good. And when you post it. Take it, don't take it to Facebook. Take it to the faith book. Take it to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Take it to him. Jesus said, you need to choose to bless. Luke 6, but to you who are listening, I say, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you and pray for those who mistreat you. People want to talk about being biblical. Pastor, we need to do this. We need to be biblical about this. We need to be biblical about this. Telling other people what to be biblical about is the easy part. You know, I like what Mark Twain says. It's not those things in the Bible that I don't understand that bothers me. It's those things in the Bible that I do understand that bothers me. And so we have to actually live this out. And I believe that the only revenge, which is essentially Christian, is that of retaliating with forgiveness. Dickens said it like this. He said, Miss Havisham wasted her life in revenge. How narcissistic. Here's what she did. She buys a child. And she buys this child named Estella, and she raises her so that she would be hateful, and that she would hate men, and that she would be full of bitterness and hatred. But she made it to where she would be beautiful and want to be admired so she could ruin somebody else's life. If you don't deal with your unforgiveness and your bitterness, you're going to try to suck other people into your pain so that they can have a miserable life also. It was so bad that she did that. It was the most narcissistic thing she could do. And that's why Dickens calls her Miss Havisham. Sham is a lie. She's living a life that's a lie. But when Ebenezer Scrooge, we love the outcome. He's visited by the ghost of Christmas past and Christmas present and Christmas future. And he sees the error of his ways and he sees all the junk. And he falls on his knees and he cries out to God. He says, God, forgive. Dickens has him praying to God and asking God to forgive him from all the things that he hurt. And then Dickens writes that from this point on, Mr. Scrooge kept Christmas in his heart every day. And Tiny Tim lived, okay? And he began to be known as the most generous man around. We go, oh, I love that story. But you and I have a choice. We can end up like Miss Havisham by harboring and keeping unforgiveness and bitterness, or we can be like Ebenezer Scrooge and be free and our life be full of joy. I want you to give yourself the gift of Christmas this year. Forgive those who hurt you and experience true freedom. I wrote this down. It said, a Christian will find it cheaper to pardon than to resent. Forgiveness saves the expense of anger, the cost of hatred, and the waste of spirits. Do you realize that the ultimate proof of forgiveness, if you're wondering, well, how do I know if I forgave? Is when you can sincerely pray to God to let those who hurt you, those who wounded you, off the hook and say, God, forgive them. Please, God, don't hold that to them. And I'm going to tell you something, that's one of the most difficult things as a human being that you would ever have to do. Because in our nature, that's not us. That is not us. But I'm going to tell you, I want you to live life and love life and experience it. And you can't by holding that stuff in. And if I said today, is there anybody here that you're harboring some stuff that you need to let go of? I'm sure. And I would never, ever ask to embarrass anybody. But I can tell you this, all of us, our hands are going to go, yeah, me, Rob, me. So the first thing that you need to make sure you do in your life is to make sure you're forgiven by Christ. And right now, I'm going to ask, because we're going to pray a prayer, a forgiveness prayer. But if you're here today and you said, Rob, I don't know if I would take my last breath on this earth. I'm not sure where I would end up. That's a pretty scary place to be in. But I want to tell you something. You don't have to live life that way. With an act of faith and belief, one moment, your breath could be here and your next breath in heaven. With every head bow, every eye closed, if you're here today and you say, Rob, I really do need to make a fresh start. I really want to choose Christ. I want to make sure that heaven is my eternal home. And if you're here today and say, yes, I want to make that fresh start today to Christ, would you just raise your hand? If you're here today and you say, yes, I want to raise the hand. Thank you. I see those. Amen. Amen. I want you to pray this with me right now. Father God, I come to you in the name of Jesus. and I ask you to be my Lord and to be my Savior. I turn from all the ways that are wrong in my life, and I make a decision today to follow you. I'm making a fresh start. I confess with my mouth and I believe in my heart that you raised Jesus from the dead. And so I ask you to forgive me of my sins and save me like you declared. Thank you for doing that. So Lord, I also now ask you, God, that I have not loved, but I've resented certain people. And I have unforgiveness in my heart today, God. And I ask you, Lord, to give me the power. I need help. Help to release and forgive those who have wronged me and hurt me and my family, God. I do now forgive them. And I ask you to forgive them also. I want you to forgive them, God, I want you to bless them. Please replace my hurt with peace and comfort in the love of Christ. And God, now I ask you, because I've hurt people. I've said things I shouldn't have said and done things I shouldn't have done and hurt people like I shouldn't have hurt. But I ask you to forgive me for those times that I've hurt others. And I'm asking you to help me, God, that I would forgive myself. I'm asking you right now, God, in the name of Jesus Christ. And everyone say amen. Folks, have a merry, very merry white Christmas. God bless you.
Amen. Come on, let's put our hands together.